Okay, this week is Parshas Truma, and Parshas Truma, we learn about the Mishkan. At the end of the Parsha, we learn about the Chotzer HaMishkan. Now, the Mishkan, most of the Parsha is about the Kalim, right? The Kalim, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the dimensions of the Mishkan itself, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Mishkan, and the Krashim, and the Yerios. But then at the end of the Parsha, Shvihi, we learn about the courtyard, the Chotzer HaMishkan. There is a question, age-old question, a mystery, that everyone is busy with trying to find a solution to a very simple, fundamental difficulty with the Chotzer HaMishkan. I want to just run through some of the solutions and some of the issues, and maybe a little drush explaining of some of the ideas that we can take out of this mystery.
Okay.
I'm going to explain. Let me read some of the psukim just to get a starting point, some background to what is the problem, what is the issue. Okay, this is the end of Parshas Truma. The pasuk says, "The asisa you shall make es chatzar." You don't need a chumash. I'll just read the psukim. You shall make the chatzar hamishkan. Okay, so you see in front of you here on these three pages, you see courtyard that surrounds the Mishkan, that surrounds the Mizbeach, that surrounds the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it tells us the dimensions. The dimensions are Lefas Negev Teimana, along the south side, Kiloim Lechatzer Shesh Mosar, you have curtains, Neya Bo'ama, that's the first critical piece of information that we need. The length of the southern side is the southern side is the bottom. Okay, that's the bottom. That's the bottom of this box. Is 100 amos. That's what it says in the pasuk. Neya vo'amo oyrech lapeo hoechos for one side. Now, how many pillars are there going to be in that area? That's 100. The amudav esrim, 20 pillars to hold up the curtain that will extend along the length of the 100 length. The adnehem esrim, and they're going to be sockets. This is not like the sockets of the crush, which there are two sockets. There's only one socket in the chayches, and then there are hooks. Fine. And the chayin lepas safon bo'erech kloyin mea oirech. Same thing. The amudav esrim. The north, they're going to be 20 in the north. 20 pillars. And then we discuss the Bereichat Chatzil Lefas Yom Kiloim Chamishim Amo. Now we go to the west, and the west is going to have the dimension of 50 Amos. Bereichat Chatzil Lefas Kedma Mizracha Chamishim Amo. And then it gets more complicated, which for right now we'll leave out that part for now. I don't know if we'll have time to go into that part of the details of the east. But basically what we learn from the pasuk here is the dimensions of the Chotzer are 100 amos by 50 amos. And the pasuk explicitly says that the dimensions are, there are going to be 20 pillars along the north and south, and 10 pillars along, let's just focus now for the moment, along the west, which is the left side of the page. On the left side of the page, it's 50 amos, and there are going to be exactly 10 pillars to hold up the curtain. Now, there's a Rashi, and the Rashi comes from what's called the Braisa of the Meleches HaMishkan. It's a Braisa, and there's no one that disagrees with this Braisa. This Braisa is accepted by everyone. It's one of the basic giving points. The distance between the two pillars is exactly 5 amos. Okay, 5 amos is the distance between the amount of curtain that was spread in between the two pillars, exactly 5. So now we have a very, very big problem. Because if we have 20 pillars, and there is a gap of 5 amos in between each pillar, how many gaps are there? 19 gaps. Think about it. 20 pillars. In between each pillar, there are 20 pillars. In between each pillar is exactly 5 amos. Let's assume that includes the thickness, the width of the pillar itself. That's a very big assumption, which we're going to assume that's how most of the Mepharshim explicitly state, including the thickness of the pillar. We have 20 pillars. In between each pillar is exactly 5 amos. How many amos does that give us in grand total of?
95.
19 multiplied by 5 is 95. On the west side, how many pillars are there? What is the gap, the space? The pasuk explicitly says it's 50 amos. How many pillars are there? There are 10 pillars. The Torah says there are 10 pillars and there's 50 amos. The Braisa Beleches HaMishkan says in between, from pillar to pillar, there's exactly 5 amos. If you have 10 pillars and you have a gap of 5 amos in between each one of the 10 pillars, how many gaps do you have? You have 9 gaps. How many amos that occupy? 45. So we got a very, very big problem on our hands. This is an age-old dilemma, and no one has a solution to this problem. All the solutions we're going to have fundamental difficulties.
The width of the pillars?
No, so all the Mepharshim, that's one solution, which we'll come to in a moment. I'll show you why that's very difficult, but according to one let's make the assumption that we're not including the width of the pillar. When it says 5 to 5, and when it says 5 to 5, it means including the thickness of the pillar itself. And the reason why we don't include the pillar is because the pillar was round, and it only touched the pillar at the tip of where it comes to a circle, or it was connected by the hook, and the hook does not take up any space, and the Brayis of Melechus HaMishkan is mashma that the pillar is not included in the gap in between each pillar. So we have here a very difficult question. We have a space of 100 amos, we have 20 pillars, and we have a space of 5 amos in between each pillar. These are the 3 givens. Problem is, the 3 givens don't add up. It only adds up to a space of 95 amos by 45 amos, not 100 amos by 50 amos. So how do we solve the problem? So the first answer Mr. Mills wants to give is, we're not going to include the thickness of the pillars. That's the approach given by one of the Rishonim, whose name is Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Rivah quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he says that whoever told you to include the thickness of the pillar, we're not going to include, but here comes something which is very interesting. How thick was the pillar? So it has to be the thickness of the pillar is not uniform, because we need to compensate another 5 amos. How many tefachim are there in an amma? 6. So we need to come up with another 30 tefachim. We are short 5 amos. There are 6 tefachim in an amma. 6 times 5 is 30. So we need to come up with another 30 tefachim. That means each one of the 20 pillars has to equal exactly 1 tefach and a half. 1 tefach and a half multiplied by 20 will give us 30 tefachim, which will make up for the missing 5 amos. Okay, so that's number one. Now, what about the left? I'm not going to deal now with the opening, with the front, okay? Because we're not going to have enough time for that. We'll put aside the Pesach for another time. But what about on the left side? The left side, you have the same problem. You have 45 amos. You're missing 5 amos. And we have 10 pillars. It has to then mean that the width of the pillars on the left side, which is the west side, we need another 30 tefachim, but we only have 10 pillars. We have to assume each pillar was 3 tefachim wide. 3 times 10 is 30 to give us the additional 5 amos that we need. That's a very big chiddush. That means that the width of the pillar on the west side is double the size of the pillars on the north and the south side. Okay, so this is the first solution presented by Rabbeinu Ephraim. So let's review what we have over here so far. We have here a problem. We have here, a Torah says 100 amos by 50 amos. And the Torah says there are 20 pillars by 10 pillars. And the Melech HaMishkan says there's a gap of 5 amos in between each pillar. Doesn't add up. It's 95 by 45. solution number one, when it says there are five amas in between each pillar, it does not include the thickness of the pillar itself. The pillars themselves are going to add up to another five amas. But that has to then mean that on the north and the south side, in order to get another five amas, each pillar is going to equal the distance, a width of one tefach and a half. One tefach and a half multiplied by 20 equals 30. 30 divided by 6 equals 5. 5 amas. What about on the west side? The west side, we only have 10 pillars, and we need another 5 amas. That has to then mean that each pillar was 3 tefachim wide. 3 tefachim multiplied by 10 is 30. 30 divided by 6 is 5. That's how we're going to get the additional 5. So that's going to be the solution. The solution is going to be we're going to have the thickness of the pillars, and that's how we'll get the additional 5. Now, what is difficult with this answer? First of all, it's not uniform. That's very bizarre to suggest that the thickness of the pillar is not going to be uniform. Second problem is, it means that at the corner, there are two pillars connecting at a right angle. Now, without going to the source, I don't have the source in front of me because I forgot to read my kuntres, it's not mashma like that. You read the psukim, all the midrashim, it's mashma that at the corner there was only one pillar. There are numerous midrashim which describe the how it was constructed, and it's mashma, you came to the corner, there was one pillar. According to this interpretation, when you come to the corner, you have a right angle, you have two pillars. One pillar is the last pillar of the length, and one pillar is going to be the pillar of the width. So, but that's not mashma, the two pillars are going to be back to back. It's more mashma, one pillar is going to take up the space. So this is the first approach, which appears to be a bit difficult. So let's go to a very common approach, which is probably the most popular, and this is the opinion of the Riva. The Riva is very beautiful, but there's a major flaw and a major difficulty in the Riva as well. The Riva, if you see the picture here on this page, on page 13, the middle picture. The middle picture shows that you don't really have 20 on each side. You have really on each side, on at least on the north and the south, Tambanim, you have 21. Now, how do you have 21? Because after you get to 20, let's go work backwards. 20 going backwards to 1, then begins the first one of the 10 on the west side. You then go up 10, and then after you get to 10, you have number 11. Number 11 is the first one of the north side.
It's the same thing. Number 20 is the same thing as
number 20 is going to then be right, but look, it's all fitting like a puzzle.
Yeah,
on each side, you don't really have 20 and 10, you have 21 and 11.
Yeah, it's true.
What?
Number 20 is...
No, look at the pillars. How many pillars? Yeah. How many pillars do you have on the bottom? On the south side? 21. Just look at the west side, the left side of the page. How many pillars do you have on the left side of the page? 11.
Yeah, but you're 11. Counting the corner once, twice.
Exactly, counting it twice. Now, when you have 11, so how many gaps do you then have? 10. How much is 10 gaps? 10 times, if you have 10 gaps, and the gaps are 5, you have exactly 50 amas. If you have 21 gaps on the... You have 20 gaps. 20 gaps on the north and the south. How many amas exactly? 100 amas. And it all fits nicely into each other. So you have 20 pillars. Those 20 represent the 20 pillars of the south side. And then you skip 5 amas. Then begins the first 10, the 10 in the other direction of the south side. And then after you finish those 10, you then begin the 20 of the north side. And the same thing you do along the east for the Pesach, and it's a little bit different, but there, that's you have to go to the Pesach to understand what the Pesach means, how the Pesach opens up. Now, what is the difficulty with this interpretation? There are really two major difficulties. One difficulty is it's not really what the Torah says. The Torah says, on the north, there are 20. On the south, there are 20. On the east, there are 10. On the west, there are 10. That's not what there is. They're really 21. There are really 11. Okay, so you're repeating. But that's not the simple reading of the Pasuk. Now, another major difficulty, which the person who wrote this kuntras, I don't even know his name, because I forgot to bring it, I forgot his name, he wrote a whole kuntras on this, is he says that if you look very carefully, he goes through all the psukim, he elaborates on this very, very much. Every single thing in the Mishkan was parallel one to the other. There are two kruvim. They parallel one another. The badim parallel one another. The menorah, there are three branches that come out parallel. The urios of the urios, 5 and 5. You have 6 and 5. It's a little bit of a kasha. 6 and 5. But generally, the crushing, the two things come out on the bottom. They're twins. Everything is counterbalanced. Everything. B'li yoytzei min haklal. All of a sudden, when it comes to the chotzer, it's not counterbalanced. It's not. Look at the picture. You see, he numbers it for you. 1 corresponds to 19 on the other side. Number 20 corresponds to nothing on the other side. And when you look at the east and the west, number 10 corresponds to 0. And, I mean, their numbers are a little different. But let's just focus on the north and the south. There is no counterbalance when you look at... When you look at the north and the south, because it's all fitting together like a puzzle, and that is very disturbing in what the simple understanding of the pasuk tells us, that there should be some degree of counterbalance between the top and the bottom.
It's not so parallel. It's just you're numbering them. You can number them any way.
So he doesn't like that, and I sympathize with him. You're right. It's true.
The number of them, it's just the pillars are exactly parallel.
But that's not the way the Torah says 20 on the north, 20 on the south. Besides the fact that it says 20, not 21, and when you look at it, you see 21. You don't see 20. Even if you want to say, okay, they're going to be 21, but the 21 should be the 20 should be parallel to one another. And the Gemara talks about the crush; they would number the crushim, and then the Mishkan, in order that the Kerish that was Bitzafon should be Bitzafon. They should not be in the wrong place. It's disturbing. They're not. They're fitting into each other like a puzzle. When there's a lack of counterbalance, they're not. They're not. Linked 100%. They're parallel, but they're
the Torah assigned numbers.
The Torah assigned numbers.
They assigned the count, not a number.
They're not spaced correctly.
It's good enough. The count that the Torah assigned automatically includes within a number. The Torah said they're going to be 20 in the north, and they're going to be 20 on the south. So put up the 20 on the north, and then you'll go, you put them up. They don't match. Okay, you're right, they're 20, and you look at it, it looks nice and balanced, and you look at it from above, but there's something that's lacking. There's something that we don't have a perfect symmetry. So this is a very great difficulty with the Shita of the Riva. It's a very popular approach, because it's very nice, it's clean, it's very clean. You have no problem. You have exactly 20 gaps, 5 amas. You preserve everything in the Torah. Torah says 100, the Torah says 50, the Torah says 20, 20, 10, 10. You preserve, it says in the Brayos and Lachos HaMishkan, there's a gap of 5 in between each two pillars, and the gap includes, the 5 includes the thickness of the width of the pillar itself. Everything fits, right? It's clean. It's a very clean approach. It's a very popular approach. But there's something disturbing.
Does the corner have to be a right angle?
We assume yes. Why not?
What happens if you have a 20 and then this one was a little off, so really
So you're looking at above on the Melechus, the Maisa Choshef. Niba v'ini yidei ma'niba. Okay, we'll get to your approach in a moment. We'll come to your approach in a moment. But this, you have to know the Rivat. By the way, after you look at this, we finish today, you go home. I'm sure you all have at home a tabernacle book, or you have the article put out, this incredible new book, Mishkan, and very disturbed. That book, the art scroll, is a piece of art. The way they did the ephod is out of this world. Out of this world, the ephod, the big day kahuna, I never in my life saw something incredible, how they tie with the tchelos, they show those difficult rashis. But when it comes to the chotzer ha-mishkan, it's shocking. It's shocking what they did. You go look at it. But not like the Riva, not like anything that we have here in front of us, just... It's just, I don't know. What?
You shot minus.
Minus. I was very disappointed. I was very disappointed that when it came to the Eifot, the precision is Mavir al Harayin. There's no sefer that's been published today that reproduced the Eifot of the Kohen Gadol with the precision and the tzitz, the Eifot, and the Choshen. It's out of this world. But when it comes to the Chatzar HaMishkan, they totally ignore. They don't even deal with the issue. And now they don't deal with the issue. You can't ignore the issue. If you make a picture, you have to do something. You can't ignore the issue. They did something which is nishtahi nishtaher. No one says what they say. I don't know where they're getting it from. They don't apologize. They don't talk about it. I'm sure they did it on purpose. Obviously, they have all the books that I have. They know what they're doing. They don't want to get involved because probably it's so complicated and there is no solution. They just totally avoided the whole issue. Okay, go look at it. You'll see what I mean. It's very interesting. It's interesting. Maybe there is an approach. Maybe they did take someone I'm not aware of. But this is so we have some Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay, Rabbeinu Ephraim says we're going to add the thickness of the Amudim. Give us another five. That's difficult. We have the corners are two together and it's not uniform. The thickness of the north and south are smaller than the thickness of the west. We have the Riva. Riva is beautiful. It's very neat. Neat, everything works out just perfectly, except there's something unsettling about the Riva. We're missing this symmetry, this perfect symmetry that we expect in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Chatzar HaMishkan. So let's now go to what Mr. Willis was alluding to, the Shita of the Ma'aseh Choshev. The Ma'aseh Choshev says, take the Pasuk very literally, don't get too worked up about anything here. There are 20 on the north, 20 on the south, 10 on the west, and they're perfectly symmetric one to the other. And the only thing is, put it in the middle. And then you have 2.5. Now there are many approaches to the Ma'aseh Choshev. So let's discuss one at a time. Let's learn a very simple approach. Like you see in the picture over here. Picture on top is not accurate. They're showing you on the corner there's a gap. How much space is there after each pillar? It has to be, in the according to this picture, 2.5. From end to end, you have 20 pillars, there are 19 gaps. That gives you 95 amos. We are missing 5 amos. So, make believe there's 2.5. 2.5 coming out this way, 2.5 coming out this way. Along the west, we have 10 pillars. That gives us 45. We need 5 more. Put those 10 pillars smack in the center. There'll be 2.5 gap on the left, 2.5 on the right. Somehow, there'll be hangings there. They learned there were hooks that came out on the diagonal. There was some type of pegs which protruded out, which kept up the corners nice and snug. That's what the part is. Very simple. Kept those corners nice and snug. So you have a nice square, 100 by 50. The 20 on the north, 20 on the south, they're parallel, they're symmetric. You have 2.5 extra space here. 2.5 is about... It's about five tiles on the floor, make-believe. So five, so there was some type of peg, a beam, which came out of the pillar, which I guess kept the curtain hanging nice and snug in the corner. Came out both ways, and the corners met. That's really what they're doing in this picture, right? Ma'aseh Choshev is showing you
the corner doesn't have to be...
Oh, so you want to say, no, I'm going to come to that. Right.
It could be like a...
Oh, it should be circular on the corners. Okay. I'm going to come to that in a second. Okay, very good. So, but let's learn the Ma'aseh. Let's go one thing at a time. The Ma'aseh Choshev, the simple interpretation is the way we have it over here. They drew the box. It means the box is the curtain. The curtain is on the outside. And how in the world is the curtain being suspended in that corner when there's no pillar there? They had some sophisticated, go to the hardware store, Ace Hardware Store, they'll give you some type of rod.
Sukkah,
they'll go out, there's a rod, leave it to the professionals, there'll be a rod that will protrude out of the last beam, which will keep the curtain suspended in the corner nice and snug. Okay. Then there's something a little bit deeper, which Mr. Morillis wants to point out, and this is another approach to the Ma'aseh Choshev, and he wants to say as follows. This is really mathematical. And we need to use square roots. You'll have to fill in all the gaps for this. He says that, let's take the Medrash very literally. not the Medrash, the Braisa Maisa Choshev, in between each pillar was exactly five. Which means, like the Maisa Choshev, but the corner, it was not a right angle. You went, it's not like in this picture. This picture is not, it's not the way we're trying to, in between the diagonal from the last, on the, look at the bottom corner. The bottom corner is 1 to 10. The bottom corner, on the, again, it's the Maisa Choshev on top, on the bottom left. When you go from 1 to 10, there has to be exactly 5 amos. Now, there's a very big problem by doing that. If you go exactly 5 amos, so it's not closed as a corner. You go from 1 to 20, it's going to be 95 amos. When you get to the corner, you go again 5 amos to the next, to the 10 that are vertical, that are on the west. Now, what is a right angle? A square plus B square equals C square. So what is C square? C square here is, the right angle has to be 5. That means C square, hypotenuse, has to be 5. That means C has to be 25. That means 25 divided by 2 is 12 and a half. So what is the square root of 12 and a half? 3.54 and so on. That has to then mean that the Mishkan would not be, let me say that, I'll repeat it, the Mishkan was not 100 amos, was 102 amos by 52 amos. In other words, we're starting out with a problem. This is amazing. We're starting out with a problem that it's too small. It's too small. Why is it too small? Because we only have 20 pillars. 20 pillars gives us 95 amos. So what are we going to do? Well, no problem, because you have 95 here, and you have 45 here, and you're going to go on an angle, a 5 amma angle, to get into your next, to go from the south to the west. But the angle, when you go on a five amma angle, how much distance are you going to travel? So you're only allowed to travel 2.5. But if you're going on an angle of 5, according to the rules of math, you're going to be going down that angle 3.5 on one side, and you'll have 3.5 on the other side, which is 1 amma over, then you're allowed 2.5. Because if you're going on an angle, what is the hypotenuse of an angle, of a right angle? A square plus B square equals C square. So if the right angle is C square. What is the right angle here? What is C? C is 5. That's what it says in Melechus HaMishkan. Any time you go from one pillar to another pillar, you jump exactly 5. If you're going now from the last pillar on the south.
Does that apply to corners also? It's not necessarily.
So this is what he wants to say. This is how the Mefarshim want to learn Shana Melechus HaMishkan. Let's see what's happening. So we're going now from the last pillar on the south on an angle to the first pillar on the west. And we're going on an angle, the distance of that angle, the distance of that space is going to be 5. Okay, so what is the square of 5? 25. Take 25 and divide it by 2. 12 and a half and 12 and a half. What is the square root of 12 and a half? 3.5, approximately 3.5, a little bit more than 3.5. How much space are you really missing? Are you really missing at the end? You have 95, and we're in the middle. So you're allowed to go another 2.5. But if you're going to go on an angle 3, you're going on an angle 5, that means that you're going to be going not 2.5 more, you're going to be going 3.5. You're going over the limit on this side 1, and you'll be going over the limit on the other side 1 as well. That means if you were to theoretically square out the Mishkan according to the approach of the Melechus, the Maisa Choshev, if you were to square it out, the result would be 102 and a little bit more by 52 and a little bit more. Now get this, so how, that's illegal. The Torah says 50 by 100. It wants to suggest that you have to deduct this, the amount of square space was the same, Because you have to deduct the amount of space that the walls, and this mathematical form, I have no idea, this will take me forever to figure out how to do this, deduct the thickness of the walls of the Mishkan itself. You know, the Torah didn't want you to lose anything. You have an open courtyard. But when you build the Kroshim take up space. So you're losing interior space. Right? If you go and you rent an area, I want to go rent 1,000 square feet. And there are beams. So you go to the one who leased you the building. You rip me off. I leased a space of 1,000 square feet. And in the 1,000 square feet, there are 10 beams. So you have to deduct those 10 beams. Those 10 beams take up my space. You measured it from the width and length. But you didn't take it. I was assuming I'm going to have the whole area to make use of. I can't. There's a beam here, there's a beam here. And each one of those beams taking up space. Well, guess what? The Mishkan itself takes up space. It takes up, the walls take up space. So when you'll deduct the amount of space that you're losing because of the walls, that will compensate for, that's why we're giving you 102. We're giving you 102 by 52 to compensate for the amount of space you're going to lose with the walls of the Mishkan. That requires, this is said is in Malachas HaMishkan, it's safe, it's in safe. These are Rishonim. I think these are Rishonim, yeah. These are Rishonim. It's like this, a liquid. I don't have this name of the stuff on me. There's a safe called Malachas HaMishkan. It was put out by a person from Telza Yeshiva. I don't remember his name. A lot of this comes from there. Some of it comes from this country, which I don't remember the country, little just on this topic, and some of it comes from the Malachas HaMishkan. And there they bring a long collection of Mepharshim, Rishon, the Rivah, Mefalpel, and just I'm just throwing out these ideas, all of these interesting ideas. But here we have a fascinating approach to the Ma'aseh Choshev. The Ma'aseh Choshev says, keep the symmetry in place, keep 20 on the right, 20 on the left, and we have really a gap of 95 by 54, and you have to go in a gap of 5, and that really means when it says Nitar 100 by 50, it's not precise. It's really 102 by 52 because you're going to go from the bottom corner to the right to the left corner, yeah, by 5.
The inside may be 100.
What do you mean? Okay, so you're a mathematician. You have to figure out when you get 150.
The width of the pillar.
Yeah.
You stick it in. So maybe
that's another very big issue. Another very big issue you're touching on is where is the curtain? The curtain on the inside. The curtain on the outside.
The curtain's on the outside. In the interior area, maybe 150.
Okay.
That's
okay.
So
you got to make little calculations. That's what we need you for. You got to make these calculations. But now, let me just go you one out. The reason why this person wrote this kuntres, okay, is because of what he has his chiddush. Okay, he came up with a chiddush. It's a very funny. This person, he wrote a kuntres, and he got so excited. He has a solution, solves all the problems, and he presented this to all the gedolei. He has haskamas from every gedolei you ever heard of. He showed him the kuntres, and he gave a haskamas. It's a very interesting idea. They all basically write the same thing. I don't know if it's correct, but it's interesting. It's interesting. This person got so excited, he published a color contrast to illustrate all these ideas. And his approach is, the basic point is, there is no way you can reconcile perfectly all of the givens.
There's also a possibility that there was a miracle.
Right. Oh, so we don't want to work on miracle. We want to try to get it to our derech hatev. Okay, that's an approach. Mathematicians saying that it's a miracle is a chiddush. We want to say it worked.
Nobody else.
Scientifically, it works. It sounds scientifically, mathematically. But the basic points we have to take into consideration is that all of the givens just don't add up. You don't have 100 by 50 with 20. Look at the givens.
Time out. The Torah doesn't specify that the space between the one pillar and one pillar has to be.
But the Malachas HaMishkan says so. There's a braisa called Malachas HaMishkan that says the space in between the two pillars is exactly 5. And it's debated, does that include the thickness of the pillars? Does it not include things? So we discussed that. Most of the Rishonim say it does not include. It does include. It does include, for various reasons, which is not beyond the scope of what we're going to talk about. It does include the thickness. So all of the data doesn't add up. 100 by 50, 20 pillars, 10 pillars, not including the five, in between each pillar there's 5, not including the thickness, doesn't add up. So that's why we're stuck. We have the approach of the Riva, we have the approach of the Lachas, we have the approach of Rabbeinu Ephraim, we have the approach of the Lachas Masach Chayshev, two different Mahalchim with hooks and angles, or then this idea where it's going to be 5, but that also doesn't make sense, because that's also 102 by 54, not by 100. So here is his solution. Okay, here is an interesting solution. What he says is not totally unique. The Abarbanel says something similar. Not exactly the same, but a similar Mahalach. And that's on this page. He shows, first of all, 20 and 20. Okay? They're symmetrical. Keep them symmetrical. You have 20 on the left, the Dorum and 20 on the Tzafon, and you see the numbers match up, and in between is 5, like it says, the Melech and the Braisa. But we need 5 more. The 5 more, we're going to take another 10. Another 10, we're going, this is what it does in Yishon, the art scroll. The art scroll, the new art scroll book, they do exactly this. They do exactly this, but they don't do the other part, they don't do, which gets very confusing. The other 10 are going to be along the this page on the top, the Maariv. So now you have another gap. Now, it's not perfect because this, when you look at it from the south and the north, you really see 21. So his approach is not perfect either. Because when you look at the Torah, says there are 20 on the north, 20 on the south. No, there's not. I look at this picture here, there are 21. There are 21 on the north, 21 on the south. Okay, he doesn't care. He does not bother by that. But there's a gap of 5. And then we start the 10 on the south. So we have exactly another gap, that gives another gap. That solves the problem of the 100. But how do you solve the problem for the 50? It's only going to be 45. So he says, it's very it works out very nicely because he really you have to go into the Pesach, which we don't have time to go into. That the four middle ones were spaced, when the Melech, the Braisa, Melech HaSan Mishkan says the gap in between the curtains was 5, it does not include the three middle gaps. The four middle pillars. Right, as I say, so I just want to point out, that's the whole point. No one is perfect.
You can have 20 different interpretations.
That's what we're trying to do. I've given you this number 5. I'm giving you this right, the fifth interpretation.
I think it's just as easy to say that it was a miracle.
This is the fifth interpretation. The gap in between you see is 6 2/4. 6 2/3. 6 2/3. And that equals 3 times 6 2/3 equals 20 amas. And then the first three gaps, 5, 5, 5, 15, 15. And that parallels the Pesach. The Pesach, it says in the Torah, was also, he elaborates a lot upon the Pesach. The Pesach was a little bit wider, was 20 amas, the Pesach. And the Pesach had 4 pillars. So the putting the 4 pillars, you have to say the gap was going to be 6 2/3. And the only mile that he has in his parish that no one comes near is the symmetry. And he's obsessed. The one who's mechaber this country is obsessed with the symmetry. His whole principle is based on this concept called kinegdo. That just like every single part of the Mishkan, whether it's the kelim, whether it's the structure of the Mishkan itself, every single element of the Mishkan was symmetrical. In this approach, every single thing is going to be symmetrical. Every way you look at it, it's symmetrical, but it's not perfect either. Because you have 21 on one side, 21 on the other side, and when it says in the Braisa 5, it's not going to be perfectly 5. So this is the verse. Now let me just conclude with a drush. The Gemara says, Chazal say, Ein meruba b'masa bereshis. In creation, there's no such thing that is square. Everything that Hashem created is round. Fruit, trees, people. Everything that is created by God is not square. Doesn't exist. It's a medrash. They look around. Look in this world. Man, everything that man makes is square. As has corners. But by Sibere, mitzvahs are all square. Tefillin are perfectly square. The Mizbeach is square. When we do mitzvahs, but in the Teva nature, everything is round. The Chotzer HaMishkan, according to some of the Midrashim, it represents the world. It is the world is confined. The world, the Torah very specifically was extremely vague about the corners. Because corners is something which is man-made. The Torah is trying to hint to us that the Mishkan is something which is divine. And something that is divine doesn't have corners. In the Hilchos Shabbos, you have to have 4 walls. But the sugya of Pasei Biros, if you want to draw water, all you have to do is make corners. When you make corners, that is the ultimate definition of confinement. Ultimate definition of man creating boundaries. The Mishkan The Torah very cleverly did not give corners, boundaries to the Mishkan. And you can interpret this in many ways. It's part of creation. It parallels creation. In creation, there are no corners. Or it's telling us there are no boundaries. The sanctity that comes from the Beis HaMikdash expands throughout the entire world. It's not confined to any limited space. There are no boundaries. It's open-ended. The corners are not defined. It's vague. It's there for you to interpret. It's there for you to mold, to shape. It's up to you, but it's not concrete in the Torah. Okay, so that's what I want to bring out today. Now on, when you go and you look at a picture book, there are a lot of picture books, always look at the Chatzer HaMishkan. And keep in mind the basics. The Torah says 100, 50, 20 pillars, 10 pillars. The Melechus HaMishkan says the gap in between each pillar was 5. Doesn't add up. Does that include the thickness of the pillars? Does it not include the thickness of the pillars? What about symmetry? Everything has to be symmetrical in the Mishkan. Doesn't add up. This is a mystery, a riddle, which there is still no clear resolution. Popular approach is either Maaseh Choshev, but that's lacking the symmetry, or Maaseh Choshev, and that's the Riva, or the Maaseh Choshev, is that the corners are rounded, so to speak, which is a little bit problematic. And then we have other innovations like we have over here, or Rabbeinu Ephraim, that says if there are corners, you have to say that it does not include the thickness of the pillars. The Drush, the Machshava, the Torah was purposely vague on the corners, because corners represent squares, boundaries. The Mishkan is not meant to be limited. It's not meant to be defined. It's meant to be open-ended. It's divine. Divine things do not have corners, not have boundaries.